Welcome, this is Gary Parr, and in just a couple of minutes, you'll be listening to this week's show with Brett Shuley of Case Creations. But first, I want to call your attention to our sponsor this week, Shepherd's Needle at shepherdsneedle.com. And Ann at Shepherd's Needle has an extensive offering of cross-stitch patterns from all of the leading designers and a wide selection of threads, including the full line of MPI silks, rapidly becoming a favorite of Vanna and myself, and a growing collection of Rainbow Gallery threads. Ann specializes in punch needle with a wide selection of designs from great designers there and is offering free shipping for orders that are $50 or more through May. And most important for this week is that Ann carries all of the Case Creation stands and accessories. So if you're looking for a stand or a lap stand or an accessory to go with your Case Creation products, give Ann a call or visit her website at shepherdsneedle.com and she will be able to help you out. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Vanna Pfeiffer.
You're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for the needlework artist. And our guest this week from Case Creations, Brett Shuley. Hi, Brett.
How are you?
We're doing okay. Doing okay. Looking forward to talking to you about this. Of course, Vanna and I have established many times that we use K Creations stands. So it's anxious to talk to you and be able to hear the story behind the company and how things have come to be the way they are today. So it's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
Now, in talking a little while ago, a few days ago, a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, the whole thing started where your mother just needed something to hold her needlework.
It did. She had been stitching for quite a few years, and it was in 1987. And she was laying there. It was at night, and she was stitching, holding it in her hand, and she kept getting hand cramps and the pain in her neck and shoulders and arms. And my dad, being an engineer by trade at that point, said, you know, well, let me see if I can come up with something that can help you out. And he had retired about that time. He was a custom home builder, owned a barbecue restaurant, and kind of did a little bit of everything up to that point. And he got out in the shop one day and he started working, and he came up with the original lap stand. It was a little bit different than their modern version. It's gone through quite a few changes, and said, here, try this out and see what happens. And so he made her one, and she goes, that's pretty amazing. It really works. And, you know, I can stitch for hours and I don't have any fatigue in my hand, neck, or arms. And it just was like a light bulb went on.
that's like kid in a candy store to an engineer to see a problem like that.
It is. And, you know, he still loves any problem that comes up. I mean, it's like a new quest for him. And man, he goes at it full speed. And, you know, being an engineer and building homes, everything is built to last a lifetime. And that's how we can offer the lifetime warranty. And anything ever wears out or breaks on any of Case frames, we fix it and replace it for free. It's just something we've done for 34 years.
Yeah. Now, both parents still with us?
My mom, Kay, passed away in 07, and my dad is still here. We are still working, you know, 10 hours a day sometimes. And, you know, he's like the Energizer Bunny. He just never stops, you know?
So he's showing up in the shop and contributing to the cause then, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, he'll be out there for, you know, he's 83, and he's out there 10 hours a day on his feet in the warehouse working, doing metal work and designing stuff. And every now and then, if he looks tired, you know, I say, go home, take a nap, and he'll do that. But
well, that's fantastic that he has that that outlet. That's great.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so much fun. And, you know, getting to work with the family business has been always extremely exciting.
Yeah. So then he comes up with this design, and then what, word of mouth, or how does it start to spread?
Well, first thing is Kay took it to the local needlework shop and said, you know, let me show you something that we came up with if you think you might be interested in it. And the local owner said, that looks really good. You know, that's something I think that we could definitely do. And so what they did, I went to college in 1986, and this was 87. And they loaded, they made about 30 or 40 of these, loaded them up into the back of the Suburban and took off down the I-10 towards Florida. And they would just travel from town to town, and Kay would find the local needlepoint stores in the phone book and go in. And, you know, here she would come with her bag full of toys and do a little dog and pony show. And Dad would sit out in the Suburban reading his book, and they'd come out there and pull out what she sold and head off to the next store.
So she was the ultimate traveling salesperson then.
She really was. And they, I mean, they traveled, you know, when it first started, you know, there was no cell phone, so I didn't know where they were half the time.
Right.
And they went, you know, over the first few years of starting, I think the first show they went to was a smocking show in New Orleans. And I think they sold one frame. And they're like, well, obviously this isn't where we need to be. And so then they started researching and going to the stores, and that's when they learned about the Charlotte Needlework Show that they used to have.
Uh-huh.
And that was one of their first big shows they went to. And I remember the story of them walking in, and they've got two or three suitcases full of frames and their drapery for the tables. And they walk into this big convention center, and people are setting up full bedroom suites with pillows and couches. And you know, my dad said, Kay just kind of had this wide-eyed look. He goes, just keep focused ahead. Let's just get to the booth. You know, and it just took off from there. You know, they had very good success, and it's been really interesting, some of the lifelong friends that they've made and I've made since being with them. And I graduated in 91, so I've been with them since I worked for Ford Motor Credit for a year and a half, and then I came on board here, and I've been here ever since.
So what did you go to school to learn? What was your
I was a finance major.
Okay.
But I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit. When I, you know, right out of school, I went to work for Ford Motor Credit, and I used to get in trouble a lot because I always wanted to do it my way, or I'd see a problem and I'd just go out and try to solve it. And I wasn't much into that. I had to send a memo to three different people to do what I wanted to do.
Well, then you're no good in the corporate world then. Yeah.
No. And I'm like, I'm kind of just the type that if I see something, I want to do it, I go do it, or I solve this, or I get it fixed. And, you know, we don't have to discuss it with 30 or 40 people. So,
yeah. Yeah. That, no, you don't know how to justify jobs then. No, you're no good at
exactly.
All. Yeah. No, you're out.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's about what they said when I said, okay, well, I'm going to go work with and do this.
Yeah. So this thing ramped up pretty quick then.
It did. You know, they started getting the wholesale shops involved in it and going to these different trade shows. And that's when the TNNA used to be at the West Coast show in Anaheim. And then we did the Charlotte show. And then we'd do two or three smaller shows that we'd travel around and do. And now, you know, it's really interesting to see how much it's grown. I've got retail shops all over the world that I send to New Zealand and Europe. I've sent stuff over to people in Russia for shops, and it's just, it's really amazing to see it grow and to see the feedback from everybody on it.
Now, was it primarily the lap stand in those early days? How did the product line evolve?
It was mainly the lap stand. And, you know, our biggest contributor is the customer and the shop owner. They're on the front lines. They use the product more than anybody. They always have a need that needs solving. And there's always a problem or a customization that needs solving. And that's one thing we also do is we can customize any frame for anybody, for what they do. We do a lot of work with churches who do kneelers and need custom sized belt frames, because the normal belt frame we make for needlepoint is 6 and 9 inches tall. And I made a whole series of 22 inches tall ones for people working on floor stands that needed to do kneelers. We've done a lot of work for people who are disabled from having a stroke with one hand and try to simplify the frame to where they can still stitch while having just use of one hand. And it's really satisfying to do stuff like that and provide frames for people who have the special needs like that. Mm-hmm. We came up with the whole line of the floor stands, and they just kind of evolved from there. And it's like one of the frames we have is the La Petite lap stand. And it's a small one-sided lap frame with a clamp. It's very simple. And it was funny because the reason we came up with that is we had a lot of drops of this particular piece of wood. And I said, well, you know, we can make something out of that. We don't have to waste it. And I said, we'll make a children's type frame, really inexpensive. Well, once it got in the stores, they started buying the heck out of them. They'd teach classes with them. They would, you know, people liked a small introductory frame that they could just throw in their tote bag and take with them.
And that all came out of stuff that just got thrown on the floor.
Exactly. And we thought, well, we'll just use this and try to make something out of this. And now, then we ended up having to buy a special molding just to make La Petite for everybody. And I'm like, okay, well, it just keeps expanding, you know?
Yeah. I'm intrigued by the, there's a whole other world that people don't see then, is all these specialty designs for special needs. That's interesting.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. Like the metal stand that y'all use and work with, I do a lot of customization on that one for people who are stuck bedridden. And they have these really tall beds. I'll make them a little bit taller. I'll make a bigger base for them. You know, we can increase the thickness of some of the metal poles to give it a little more stability. I know one of the needlework teachers one time, she had back surgery, but was still teaching classes. And we made one of the metal stands it was about 6.5 feet. So she could stand in front of the class and raise the stand and teach on the stand while standing up and not having to sit down.
All right, now talk to me. You haul that design out, because that's one of the things that I want to be able to do is stand up and stitch. And I have not found a good way, a stable way to lift my stand high enough. So you've actually been down that road then.
We have. We made a larger base. We actually have what's called a travel base that will fit the metal stand. Now, the problem is, too, we've gone through about 3 to 4 different variations of the attachment on the base to the upright vertical pole. Mm-hmm. And all I need is a photo of the upright vertical pole attachment to the base, and I can just modify it to fit whatever anybody has. And it's about 24 inches wide, and it's got 2 legs that come off of it. And so it stabilizes it a lot more for the taller, heavier projects. And we've also we have a tablet holder that can go on the stand now too. And I've even been selling some of those to teachers who want to do FaceTime lessons. And that's kind of, you know, seeing a lot of the Zoom lessons and the FaceTime lessons that are evolving with the stores adapting to everything that's going on right now.
Right. Well, whole thing, because see, the ergonomics are what interest me. And last night, my stand for holding scroll frames is one of those standard, like from Michaels or whatever, wood stands that I took the head off of and modified and put a cross piece and 2 arms on so it would rest on the, so the scroll frame could just rest on it.
Right.
And that works. But then last night I was stitching for a long time and I thought, boy, I'd like to adjust this thing down 3 inches.
Right.
Because I think it would, you know, but I didn't have a way to do it because the feet on the thing, there's no way you can do that. And so it's the ergonomics. So you have worked then quite a bit to help people with those ergonomics, because that standing up thing, I think, is one thing that a lot of people need to explore rather than sitting in a chair kind of hunched over.
Right. And that's one thing with the stand. You know, people right now, the maximum height is around 36 inches. And as you do a larger project, we can definitely increase the height of it. And so the project will come down to you. And, you know, the game changer with our metal stand was the ball swivel clamp on it.
Yes.
There was, you know, and the kind of the way we got into making the metal stand, there was another one from over in England that was available at that time. And a lot of people were saying, well, it just doesn't do this or it doesn't do that. And it doesn't meet a lot of our needs, and we want something that's made in the USA. And I said, okay, that's when we kind of came up with the whole metal stand. And you know, of course, giving Galen another project to do something out of metal versus wood, he goes, well, okay, that sounds kind of fun. I can do that. And what's really funny is years ago when he was building homes and the downturn in the building industry, one of his clients didn't have enough money to pay him to finish out the house. And he goes, well, I've got this old metal lathe from – I think it was a 1937 metal lathe. And he goes, well, I'll take that as part of payment and some artwork. You know, back then you'd kind of do the barter system for whatever you had to do. And he's had this metal lathe sitting around for 15, 20 years. And he goes, now I've got a purpose for it. And, you know, then he started turning into a metal worker. So,
well, it's that ball head that Vonna and I both, I mean, Vonna, you've commented more than once about how.
Yeah, that was the deal changer. I mean, I have a lot of stands, and Gary told me about K's and told me about the swivel ball. Well, as soon as I saw that, I was on a line buying it, and I bought mine. It's been 1 year that I've had mine, and I do not hardly use any other stand now. It's my number one stand. I absolutely love my K's Creation stand. So, and you know, everybody's been asking us since we've been doing a lot of stuff, and I think I've sold quite a lot. We've sold quite a lot of K's Creation stands for you.
You have. I've had so many shops call me. Well, we've never seen this one. I heard FiberTalk talking about this, and I've got customers coming in. And you know, we've had picked up so many stores throughout the years, driven by the customer hearing about it, seeing it, and seeing ads, and going in and saying, "Well, my friend has this. I need this." Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, our biggest supporter or growth part is word of mouth, and we like to keep the customer happy. You know, that's why we offer the lifetime guarantee. And you know, anything breaks, I've had people say, well, and the funny thing, the first time that one lady was really surprised with it, she had a lap stand, and she goes, she called and she asked my mom, Kay, she goes, well, my lap stand is broken. And you know, what do I need to do, buy a new one? She goes, no, they're a lifetime guarantee. And the lady says, no, you don't understand. It fell off the back of my car when I was going to a class and I ran over it. and like Kay said, well, you were honest and you told us what happened, so we'll just send you a new one. And you know, I do that for a lot of people. If you drop it, it breaks or whatever, you know, I'll replace them, because 99.9% of the time it's not going to have anything to do like that. And I enjoy those stories. It kind of,
right.
It's definitely something different.
Well, that talk about that ball design, because the stand that I have is an old one that a friend gave me. Uh-huh. And when I saw that, my first concern was, will this thing wear out? You know, this looks like the weak link. This is going to wear out. But mine is old, and it shows absolutely no signs of wear. I mean, what is that about that design?
Well, it, you know, the original metal stand that we did come out with, it was a fixed straight 90 degree angle clamp. And then we had a customer saying, no, I need the clamp to be more maneuverable so I can stitch in more positions. And that's when Galen came up with the ball swivel design. I believe it was a rug hooking frame from years ago that somebody had kind of had the same design, but it was on a lap stand. And they said, well, let's see if we can modify this to fit on the metal frame. And we had to have the metal clamp modified a little bit. To fit it. And now it just, you know, being able to turn it to every different angle, you can come in from the side. You can put the metal stand in front of you and tilt it down from the left or right. You know, that's what makes it so unique, because a lot of these other systems, you have to buy a corner clamp, you have to add different clamps, and you can't get in that perfect position. And that's what the ball swivel joint allows you to do.
Yeah, well, that, and I think for Vonna, you know, you call it side loading. You can, in the chair sit in, yeah.
Yeah, now, I mean, but I think that people don't understand that. I had some lady email me, and she goes, well, I bought one based on your recommendation, and it doesn't work for me because it only comes from the right-hand side. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You can put it straight on. You can put it left-hand side. You can stand up with it. I mean, I said, you can do whatever you want to with it. You have to just try different, you know, setups, and you'll get it to where it fits you perfectly. And that's what I find so wonderful about the stand, is that it's just so, you know, you can just use it in all different types of settings. You can use it in a recliner, you can use it on a sofa, you can use it in a straight back chair, you can use it anywhere, take it with you. It's not hard to even travel with it. So it's just a really fantastic stand, and the ball joint is just what, you know, is the icing on the cake, in my opinion. That's the best thing. The best feature of the whole stand is that ball joint.
Oh yeah. And that's what we try to do, is, and you know, it's super easy to assemble. When you get one or a customer receives one, there's just three pieces to put it together. You take your base out, the vertical rod slips on it, you tighten one knob, the horizontal arm just slips in, and it's already assembled and ready to go.
Yep.
And, you know, the only time we ever have any issues of any wear or tear on it, and we say this in the instructions, is as you make your adjustments, you have to loosen the connections in order to make it and move it and swivel it. Well, a lot of these stitchers, they get pretty intense on it sometimes, and they will, you know, I've seen some rods come back with some pretty deep scarring, and you know, I'll still replace them, fix them, and clean them up and send them back. But I'm like, you got to loosen the connections. You can't just torque it. But that's just part of it. And, you know, it doesn't take us a few minutes to fix one up for somebody and keep them happy. And that's the main thing.
Yeah. Well, and I know for Vana to get it to fit in the chair that she uses, but then depending on the piece I'm using, I'll either have it from the side or I'll switch it around to the front. And now when I'm working on my scroll frame on my wooden stand, then I take the cross piece arm out with the ball head. I just take that out because I like using that tray,
right?
Accessory tray. So I'll have the stand without the cross piece next to my scroll frame stand, just so I have that accessory tray.
Right. And yeah, the accessory tray is really nice. And we actually used to make one called a third hand that would sit beside your chair while stitching. That was kind of like a larger tray. But to be honest, we kind of got overwhelmed with making everything else. And we kind of put that one on the back burner. So yeah. It just, you know, that's with like some frames you can almost sometimes have too much to produce. So
yeah, I'm sure that's you can have so many gewgaws that at some point it's just forget it. It's not worth all this.
Exactly. But you know, we try to accommodate any request, special sizes, like I said, you know, increased stability. There's different ways, like on the metal frame, there are two bases available. The standard one is 8 by 14 inches, and we do have what's called a Bigfoot base, and it's 12 by 14 inches, and it weighs probably about another pound and a half, but it does provide quite a bit more stability for the bigger footprint on it.
Yeah, because that's I don't know if you're still weighting yours, Vana, but when I use mine in front of me, then I'll have the plate away from me, and so then I have a big metal plate that I put on top of that, and that stabilizes it. So it sounds like that bigger foot would do the same job.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Do you still put weight on yours, Vana?
I put a 10-pound handbell on mine. Yeah. But I'm hard. I mean, I'm in and out. I have four kids, so I'm in and out of my stitching chair quite frequently, and I just have gotten used to having it on there. And because I can, like, you know, when I'm done stitching, I open the top thing and slam, you know, I don't slam it, but I push it away from me so that I can get out of my chair. And a lot of times if I have a heavy scroll rod on it, it would tip if I didn't have that thing on it. So I just put one on there just for safety purposes. And I don't even recognize that I have it on there. I guess I just have it on there and I just keep it on there and it's fine. But I use mine all the time. I just love it. I just can't tell you how much I love it. I love it a lot.
Well, I love to hear that. I'm most impressed that you get to stitch a lot with four kids. I've got two, and my wife goes, I just never have any time to stitch, you know, which is going 90 miles an hour. And you know, I think that we have my daughter who's 17, her Christmas stocking is finished except for the cuff, and I think it's been stitched on for 17 years. And my poor son Jacob, who's 14, it sits there. I said, okay, I'll start on it. I said, we'll get it done. Maybe by the time we have grandkids, you can have the stocking finished.
So you're the stitcher in the family, or both you and your wife?
My wife mainly. I don't do a lot of it. I learned it from going to a lot of the needlepoint shows.
I'm sure you did. Yeah, it's hard to avoid.
And demonstrating. And, you know, my problem is I'm the type, when I start something, I want to finish it. And when I've got a big piece or something I'm working on, I get so intense and I just keep on going until I try to get it finished. And then I look up and it's 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And it just, and it's hard with two kids. They both are more involved in outdoor activities. They both play tournament golf. And so I'm having to go out and do golf with them all the time and do all this. And but it's interesting. I mean, I've met a lot of stitchers who are out at these golf tournaments, a lot of parents taking their kids. And matter of fact, about 6 months ago, before all this happened, we were at a golf tournament, and there was a lady in a golf cart with her daughter, and she had one of our lap stands. And she was really amazed when I went up and introduced myself that I was the one who made that stand.
But that's great.
It is. It's fun to see.
So we got your dad working on the metal stand, and then then you've got at least a couple of wooden floor stands too.
We do. We have the Stowaway, the Ultimate Stitching Station, and the Tag Along, and then we have a larger one for a rug frame for doing larger pieces. That one goes really large. It goes from 36 to 72, and we've gone a little larger than 72 Holy inches smokes. In width. And you know, I'm not one that can do a large piece like that, and you know, but there are a lot of people who do rugs, and we're one of the only people who produce a heavy duty rug frame like that, that you can still flip over to work on the back, and it has still the tension and the rolling in it that you can do that. As a matter of fact, I had a gentleman in Hawaii that called me a couple of years ago and ordered a 72 inch frame through the local shop. And he was really funny. He called me. He goes, "Now, son, I'm 85 and I'm starting this rug, so you need to get it to me fast before I die and I can get this thing completed." And I said, okay. So I got it to him, and I believe he did finish it. And I'm like, golly, it's just, that's a lot of stitching.
No pressure.
Exactly. But the other wooden floor frames are fantastic if you want a little more stability. Like the Stowaway is really nice because you can fold up flat. You loosen two knobs on the legs, and the legs fold up. You can store it behind a door. You can store it under a bed if you don't want to leave it out in a small area. We've sold a ton of those to people who are full-time RVers because they can just slip it underneath the RV, and when they get to the campsite, they just pull it out and they can start stitching. And the stitching station is it doesn't have the collapsibility feature on it, but it has a lot of the same features as a Stowaway. I like the Stowaway personally. It comes with universal clamps, so you can hold any manufacturer scroll frame, stretcher bar, Q-snap, hoop. We sell a lot to quilters who do block quilts and stuff like that.
There you go, Vanna.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're a quilter too?
Yes, I am.
Have you been to the Houston Quilt Festival before?
No, I haven't. But I work at a quilt shop part time, and I've been quilting for, I think, 3 years. It's 3 years this month that I've been a quilter, and I really do enjoy quilting too. And I can see that the Stowaway would have some large benefits for hand quilting. So yeah.
Oh yeah, and I mean we went down and we've done the quilt festival for a few years, and we find so many people do a little bit of everything. We find so many cross stitchers that are quilters and needle pointers. And, you know, one of the biggest things we've seen in the last 5 to 10 years explode is doing primitive rug hooking. And we've developed a whole line for doing rug hooking too. And it's just, it's amazing at how much the needle arch has grown.
You know, it is. And we've talked about that a lot on this show in the last year about how much the, you know, everything, and that's great that it's grown as that much. And the primitive rug hooking has really gotten big too. I don't do that, but I've done everything else you've mentioned. So I don't want to get involved in the rug hooking, but
but it's amazing. I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely, you know, it's been so much fun to see it grow over 35 years, the business, and then the whole industry as a whole. And, you know, when I came into it, they were just starting to get into the over-dyed threads, and how much the threads have changed and the technique. And it's really amazing to see what everybody's come up with. And I think in a time like this, when a lot of people have obviously a lot more time on their hands and wanting to stay home and stay closer to home, I mean, this industry, I feel, is experiencing even more growth right now.
I would agree.
You know, the poor shop owners I talk to right now, you know, the problem is they don't have employees in the store. And so they're trying to manage 100% of it themselves for curbside delivery. And it's just, it's so fun to watch how quickly they've adapted mm-hmm. to curbside delivery. I've got one shop in I believe she's up in Kansas City, where she and her husband at night, they'll have the addresses and they'll start going door to door and deliver them to their customers, what they've done for the day.
Wow.
And I know a lot of them are getting tired but you know, it's just so, it's so exciting to see the support that the customers are giving these store owners mm-hmm. across the U.S. right now.
Yeah,
that's great. 'Cause we need them. We need them, period.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep everybody going.
Yep. So what's your R&D department? Is that ideas that come to you? You and your dad have meetings?
A lot of it is people who call in with problems and we need solving. You know, a lot of it comes from also, we always look for better ways, faster ways, more efficient ways to make the frames. Our original adjustable lap stand used to have two slides, and we had some injection molded parts that were like rails that went on it. And it was a complicated process of doing it. And we had to, you know, work with the plastic companies and get the molds made. And I mean, you know, 18-wheeler would deliver all these plastic parts and you'd have to store them. And I said, there's got to be a better way to do this. And that's when we just start tinkering with it. And we came up with the current lap frame that slides on top now. And it's, you know, one, it's a lot more stable. It'll last a lot longer, and we were able to put a little bit wider scroll frame on each lap frame size, and it has a cutout tool tray that comes with it. And, you know, the Z frame, which is another really popular stand of ours, my wife actually came up with that design, and that happened, shoot, it was years ago. I think we were just dating at the time, and she was stitching, and we were sitting over at my parents' house, and she goes, you know, I need it to do this. I need it to have a double-jointed arm so there's no arm in the way. And of course, light goes off in my dad's head. He goes, well, let me work on that.
I'll be right back.
Exactly. And so then he comes out with this. And now we've got one. The Z frame is a great lap frame option because it's held on one side. And with a double jointed arm, the arm folds out of your way. So it's almost like the frame or your work is floating in midair. You can come up around the sides of it. And so you don't get tangled or touch any arms or anything like that. And that one has just gone like gangbusters. You know, it's stained, and it's a little bit different quality wood than what we use with the other ones. It's amazing.
Yeah, that wood thing. I mean, these days, I gotta believe getting quality wood on a consistent basis is a challenge. Is that the case, or are you still able to source good wood? Because you can't just use any old wood for this stuff.
You know, it is. And it's been interesting over the years, you know, because everybody says, you know, well, this wood, you should get this wood or, you know, part of it, we use what's called a Baltic birch plywood. And the original plywood was sourced out of Russia, and it was a higher grade plywood. And it's what a lot of high end cabinet makers use. And for a while there, Russia was having a hard time getting it out. And they went to a Chinese source, and it was really inferior plywood, and we had to wait a little bit and buy a bigger quantities to get the Russian plywood in. And now at first it wasn't too bad. But now I'm seeing, you know, some of my suppliers, I think it's just a matter of getting enough people in there to do the work, because we do have a local lumber company that runs some of our shapes, and they store them for us, and then we buy them, and then we do all the cutting and finish and drilling out work here. And I did notice that it's not as high a quality of wood that's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, when was it? It was yesterday. I rejected quite a few pieces and I went to pick them up. I'm like, we got to do a little bit better than this, because it's going to take me 10 times the time to finish it as just what we're paying for. And so it is going to be interesting to see what goes on going forward. I think, you know, with the lumber industry, it's a critical infrastructure, so it's always going to be available. And, you know, it's definitely been interesting in the last couple of months. You know, we're kind of isolated where the warehouse is, so we don't have people coming in and out. All my suppliers have kind of gone to, I order it before, and when I go pick it up, it's really not bad, because I just sit in my truck and they load it up and then I just drive off. I don't have to at least load it up anymore. So there are some benefits, but it's been interesting, but there's still a lot of good quality stuff out there. They just have to, it may take a few more days here and there, and it definitely brings a, you got to be a little more patient these days.
Yeah. Well, I just wondered about that because, you know, you just go to your local Home Depot and if you want really good wood, forget about it. You know, you just,
right.
It's functional wood at best. And
exactly.
And, for what you're doing, it's got to be a whole lot better than that. So,
yeah. And we do have some, you know, there's one, a couple local, wood people that have the higher end machines like Seven Head Mills and stuff like that. We looked at buying some of that equipment when we originally started, but you know, just one piece was, you know, around $150,000 just for that piece of equipment. And then I'd almost have to go back to school to learn how to set up all the seven heads that cut at once. I'm like, I don't have time to do this. You know, yeah. Just, you can only do so much in a day.
Right. So what is the operation like? Is it basically a giant wood shop?
It is. We do wood and metal. We've got, you know, it's a big metal building type shop where we've got wood going in it. A lot of it we, like I said, a local mill makes our shapes and different stuff in longer lengths, and then I pick it up by the linear foot, and then we cut it up. We do the drilling, hand sanding, and there's a lot of frame manufacturers out there that don't finish sand the stuff you buy like at Michael's or Hobby Lobby or different places like that. And that's one thing we've always done throughout the years. It takes a little bit more time, and ours does cost a little more than some, but we like to finish it to where it's a finished product.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not cut, throw in a box, drill a hole, and go. You know, we take a lot of pride in finishing out the product and making it as good as it can be. And with the metal frame, it's, you know, we do the majority of it here. We do source a few of the parts. All the welded pieces on there, you're talking to the person who does all the welding on all the metal.
Okay.
And when Dad taught me to weld, he goes, man, you're better than me. You get to do it all. I'm like, thanks.
but not sure I won on that one.
Exactly. But it's kind of nice. It's a nice break because, you know, after doing, you know, I do a lot of the order, you know, the customer service on the phone. Then we got some help that with shipping and packing and getting all that organized. I kind of enjoy just going and welding by myself because it's kind of quiet and nobody bothers me, you know?
Yeah. I assume behind that mask, you just go into another world and.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, now that my 14-year-old son, he's out of school and, you know, at home doing school, you know, the distance learning, which I think they can get most of it done in 2 days. He comes to work and I've taught him how to weld and he'll help on that. And he'll do a lot of the work and, you know, he enjoys it being out here. So it's nice to be able to have the kids involved. And it's been such a family business for so long. It was funny when we had our daughter, she'll be 18 in September. My wife was still working full time. And so I was the dad that would, every day I'd come to work, I'd throw my daughter in the car seat and she would go with me to these lumber companies and these hardware stores. And I had my car seat with my child in it and picking up supplies. And there's all these construction people in there. And here I come with my kid. And, you know, of course, at that time, my mom loved it because there's a playpen at work. And she got to spend the first 3 or 4 years with her full time having the grandbaby there. So yeah,
that's great.
It's definitely been a family business.
That's fantastic. And your son, I'll tell you what, having any kind of welding skills these days is a valuable little thing. Yeah,
it is. And, you know, it's interesting looking at a lot of the different things. Welders I know are in such a short supply. Ew. I think the last survey I saw said that a general welder, once you get your degree in welding or certified welder, they start around $85,000 a year.
Yep.
Which is phenomenal. Yep. And, you know, but yeah. Going up around my dad being a home builder and we've always been that type of person. And he's always been the type that, you know, anything breaks, well, I'll fix it myself. I remember when I first started, the roof had some problems on my parents' house and it was this giant, you know, 5,000 square foot house. And he just decided one day we're going to replace the roof. I'm like, okay. So the truck shows up with all these trusses and everything. We're up there. I'm like, well, we also got to fix all this other stuff. He goes, well, when we get off at 5, we'll go work on the roof. I'm like, I got to go home at some point, you know? But yeah. It is definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah, that welding thing. I was at a for my magazine job, place in the South a couple of years ago now that makes asphalt plants.
Right.
And so they're welding great big tanks to hold oil and, you know, all the pieces. And just touring around there, all their welders were clearly retirement age.
Right.
And I said to the guy who was touring us, I said, you have young welders coming up? No. He says, and we have a big problem. And he said, we can't hire them away from other businesses in town because they don't have them either. And
right.
Yeah, no, that $85,000 a year for welding is just about right. Yep.
That's, yeah, and it's interesting that
you're going to lose your son to somebody who's going to.
Yeah, I know. That's the only fear I got. But, you know, in our high school, they even have a welding program that they've put into the school. You know, in Texas, we've got the FFA, and, you know, they have. It's really interesting the way high school is. When I was there, it was, you know, you had your 8 subjects, just pass them and go on. Now it's like you have all different almost degree plans that you can do in high school and to get out, which is amazing. They have culinary, they have floral arrangement, they have a little bit of everything. They have fashion merchandising, and it's just fun to see what these kids have available for them now. And it's interesting in the secondary education in college, there's a lot of fashion merchandising departments that will teach stitching, hand stitching, because I know the University of Incarnate Word in San Antonio, every January, the professor who uses our stand and calls us, and I donate, you know, around a dozen or whatever she has in her class, and everybody in the class gets a lap frame to work on their fashion merchandising stuff, which is – it's so much fun. I just enjoy it. I love the feedback, listening to them and everything else.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So what's the craziest thing? What's the most left field thing you've been asked to build? There's got to be something.
I think it's just talking to the customers and getting their feedback. We used to have a warranty card that we sent out with everyone, and those would come back in. And one lady sent this in one time, and she said, you know, love the frame. This is my 12th lap frame. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, you know, what does she do with 12 lap frames? And so I called her. I said, this is so-and-so from Case Creations. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much for buying 12 lap frames and keeping us in business. And I said, can I ask you, what do you do with 12 lap frames? She goes, honey, I've got so many projects going. I don't want to take them off. I just put one down, grab it. I'd start on another one. I go here and there. And it's interesting. One of the scariest ones was the tag-along stand. It kind of looks like a giraffe that comes up. Mm-hmm. I had one lady call me, and she goes, I love my tag-along. I stitch with it in the car all the time. And I said, what? And she goes, yeah, my husband drives in the truck as we're on trips, and I pull the seat back, and I put it up in front of me in the truck. And I said, first of all, I enjoy you using it, but for safety reasons, please don't stitch in a truck with this thing pointed right at you, you know, in the front as you're going down the highway. And I'm going, oh, Lord, if there was an accident, I don't know what would happen. So,
holy smokes.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, good Lord. And, you know, it's just, I guess it's just fun to hear all the different uses. And, you know, a lot of people on the metal stand, you know, they'll buy two of them and they'll keep one upstairs for stitching and one downstairs. I'm like, well, it's pretty portable. And they're like, I don't have time to take it up and down. I'm just going to have one downstairs and one upstairs. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to complain. But
and now that person's name is Vonna Pfeiffer, right? Yeah.
I heard her laughing on that one.
Yeah, she wasn't laughing because she thought it was funny. No,
I have won every level.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're speaking
really
to the choir right
that.
There. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I mean, it's just like, you know, when we got into this business, my dad, you know, in Texas, we've always grown up shooting a lot, and my son and I do competitive shooting, and we have different guns for different situations, and. My mom would always ask my dad, well, why do you need another one? Well, for this situation. And every time she'd bring more needle point or a different stand down, he's like, well, what do you need that? She goes, just like that. I need one for a different situation.
and walked into that one.
he goes, you know, I used to think I'd spend a lot on shooting accessories until we got into needle point and needlework. He goes, and then Kay would always justify it by saying, well, I get it at wholesale, so I can get twice as much now.
Hey, she's pretty sharp. She working the system. Yeah.
Absolutely. And she believed the more the better. I mean, you know, you got so
what did she do? Needle, what was it? Needlepoint or cross stitch for her?
Both of it. Yeah. I mean, she would do needlepoint, cross stitch. You know, growing up, you know, she'd even do sewing and lots of stuff. And she did that all the way, you know, even when my dad met her and they got married in, I think, 61 or 62. You know, I think they met at, they were set up by a friend who was having a sewing club with her, and they introduced them. And mom always was around sewing, making stuff, crafting. And you know, that's one thing Andrea loves to do, and she loves to craft. The kids love to craft. My daughter loves to draw and make stuff, and it's just, you know, it's something that every family should do. You know, something like that versus just being in front of a TV or a video game or anything like that.
Yeah, no, I did a little cruise through your Facebook page. You guys aren't home much.
No, we really aren't. And that's, I told my wife, I said, there's some days where I'm like, I want a weekend off. And now with my daughter getting ready to go to college, and then both playing tournament golf, traveling all around, taking the kids to do that. And it's funny, my son will come to work and he's a big fisher and he loves to go fishing. And it's always, we're leaving the house in the morning and he has all this fishing stuff. And I'm like, well, I guess we're going fishing after work, huh? So that's usually part of the stop on the way home. But, you know, it's a lot of fun, and we definitely go 90 miles an hour.
Yep. Well, you'll never regret it.
No. You know, you're only here one time. Just have fun while you're here, you know.
That's right. Yep. So what's on the horizon, products on the horizon that you're working on that you can talk about?
Well, we're always looking for different versions on the metal stand, always come up with improvements and easier ways. We redesigned the clamp a little bit. Matter of fact, last week was the first time that we had it out. We made it a little bit larger. Instead of making the handle on top, we had one of our knob companies make us a knob that's a little more cleaner looking, a little bit easier to turn. And so it's wider, so you can put any type of frame in it now. We are finding some people with some wider stretcher bars or some wider scroll frames, sidebars that weren't fitting in the clamp, so we had to modify it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And right now, everything's just kind of been getting everything done and out. We've been so busy since, you know, and we've been so blessed since the shutdown. I know a lot of people haven't, but we've been here for, we're working 7 days a week trying to keep everything shipped out. And finally last week, and I said, I need a day off. And my wife said, good, I've got all this stuff around the house today.
Oh, no, no.
And I think I got another list she showed me last night. I said, okay, you know.
That's not what you wanted to hear. You wanted to hear feet up in the recliner with a cold beverage.
Exactly. But the only thing is there's no sports on TV to watch. It's all from 2015 and 2016. Yeah. I'm like, well, I might as well go out and do yard work or repair something, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing how much stuff they've drug up from the archives. Yeah,
it really is. And my kids go, people used to dress like that? I said, yes.
Yeah. Well, Brett, this has been a treat. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Thank you all very much for all your support and your positive words about Kay's Creations. You know, that's how I found y'all is I had so many people that were saying, you know, Gary and Vaughn on Fiber Talk, man, they really talk about that. I'm like, well, I need to explore what this is. And I just loved once I found y'all looking at the podcast and listening to everything. It's just it was exciting. And I was really excited to reach out to y'all and get to know y'all.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that, and with this, Vaughn and I and Fiber Talk are going to be spokespeople for the Kay's Creation products here in the coming months, and so we'll have be able to demonstrate some of these products and share our experiences using them. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, we are.
Well, I have to get back to work and get those new products to y'all to start trying out, and you know, and like I said, anything that y'all see that y'all may want to change or y'all think can be improved, don't hesitate to reach out to me. And, you know, any customer that has an idea, shoot me an email and we'll do our best to help you out if you need any modification or any specialty item done.
Yep. Well, just keep in mind, Vonna has three floors and a deck. So.
Yeah, we'll make sure we have that weatherproof frame for outside.
That's right. Oh, man. Well, Brett, thanks so much. I really enjoyed the conversation, learning more about Case Creations. That's quite a story.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks to everybody for listening.